An old vet told my father when he was a student in Glasgow. He said, if you want to be a success in veterinary practice, just keep the bowels open and trust the rest to God.
That was a comment from the real James Herriot's son about old-time vetting in his dad's time, and is one of the many memorable comments made by the guests of the Vet Podcast over the past year or two. To finish off what has been a very trying year for us all, let's just sit back and listen again to some of the best comments from the Vet Podcast.
Are you a veterinarian dreaming about working down under in New Zealand? If so, I'd love to help you make that dream come true. Hi, I'm Julie South of VetStaff. VetStaff is New Zealand's only recruitment agency specialising in the Kiwi veterinary sector. We can help you find your dream job down under, from short-term locum assignments through to permanent employment and residency. Because we know God's own Aotearoa New Zealand like the back of our hands, we can match your career aspirations with a clinic that'll suit you best. Whether you're planning to work here for a few months or forever. If it's got anything to do with working in a vet clinic in New Zealand, we can help. vetstaff.co.nz.
You are listening to the Vet Podcast, presented by veterinarian Dr. Brian Greger from New Zealand. Join us as we discuss pet health issues from around the world.
It's the end of what's been, for most of us, a very trying year. So rather than dive into a technical topic for the last podcast of 2021, let's listen to some of the words of wisdom from our many and diverse guests over the past year or so. One of our most popular guests was Jess, a veterinary nurse and veterinary nutritionist from Melbourne in Australia, who many of you, especially the Instagrammers, may already know as Nutrition RVN. Jeff gave us no-nonsense information on pet nutrition and also the microbiome. And amongst this information were a few absolutely brilliant one-liners that those of us in practice would completely endorse. I asked her who people should go to for nutritional advice for their pets.
Of course, always ask your vet for advice and your vet team. They're always going to be able to give you the best advice available to them at the time. They're also going to give you evidence-based advice, not, you know, what Susan said on Facebook.
So, sorry, Susan, I think we'll leave our questions to somebody who actually knows the answer rather than some random on Facebook. The next quote that Jess makes has got to be one of the best ones that we've had all year. It just resonates so much with me.
Nutrition's not an opinion, it's a science. So I think it's just important that we look at the source where those opinions are coming from.
Nutrition is not an opinion, it's a science. That is just brilliant. And I'm sure that we can actually apply that exact same comment to veterinary science. Veterinary science is not an opinion, it is a science. Now, sometimes when veterinary science isn't a science, became quite obvious when I was talking to Jim White. Now, Jim White is the son of Arthur White, and Arthur White had an alter ego. He's the guy that wrote the James Herriot books that many of you will know. A year or two ago, I had a really good yarn to Jim about old-time vetting.
An old vet told my father when he was a student in Glasgow. He said, if you want to be a success in veterinary practice, just keep the bowels open and trust the rest to God.
This is back in the days of purges and emetics, but sometimes the treatment went the other way and was a little bit more, shall we say, obstructive.
I remember he used to tell me that with horses with colic, they used to stuff raw onions up the rectum of horses with colic, you know, this sort of thing. My dad used to like these cases because he used to take the onions out. He used to cure them by taking the onions out. But then suddenly, of course, the way it's changed, he suddenly had the modern drugs. And then overnight, almost, the vet became the magician with the needle. There were great days for the vet there, the magic man with the needle. You know, these days have gone.
So these old treatments that they're using, the onions and the mustard poultices, did they work?
I think some of them used to work. There always was a little bit of truth in some of these old and logic in some of these old witchcraft treatments. I mean, if you look at the world of James Herriot at some of the stands in the old pharmacy, some of the stuff they used to drench down calves with husk parasitic bronchitis, mixtures with ether and turpentine and arsenic and all these things. I mean, half of them used to kill the patient, let alone the worms. Some of them used to work, especially the castor oil. You know, I don't know what it's like in New Zealand, but the old-fashioned farmers here, a stoppage was the worst thing an animal could have. You know, they used to call castor oil opening medicine.
These pills of wisdom just aren't confined to James Herriot either. I remember when I was a young and impressionable vet, an old practitioner came up to me and he said to me, "Brian," he said, "the one thing that you must remember in veterinary practice is that the world's best veterinarian is Mother Nature. Just leave the bloody thing alone." Let's keep moving. While doing these interviews, I have come across some absolute characters, and probably without a doubt, at the top of the list is our old friend George Sophronides. George is one of the bosses of Orivet, which is an Australian genetic company, and he just came out with the most amazing statements. We've been talking mainly about dogs. You do these similar tests for cats?
Oh, cats, don't get me started, Brian. If you thought dog people were challenging, cat people, seances and burning candles and incense going.
So apologies to our cat lovers who are listening to this. We really don't think that you're crazy, cat ladies. We really do love you. George also jumped into the realms of, I don't know, it almost sounded like something that Dr. Seuss would have written.
You know, you might be at a park and you might be walking your cavoodle and someone might say, "Oh, what's that? That looks like a schnoodle." And all of a sudden you'll start thinking, "Schnoodle? I thought it was a cavoodle. I'm going to do my DNA test to verify."
Sometimes during the production process, I have had to get quite creative, I suppose is the word, with the editing of some of the recordings. An example here is of an interview that I did with Benjamin Kennedy, who is an exotic veterinarian working in the UK. We'll hear more from him soon. I asked the question of Benjamin, what makes a good pet? And he was bestowing the virtues of a mantis as a pet. So here's the two cuts. The first excerpt here is as you heard it. This is as it was after editing in the podcast. But the next one is as it was actually recorded.
A mantis, for instance, is a wonderful pet. Easily the equivalent of a hamster, truthfully.
And so here is what was actually recorded.
A mantis, for instance, is a wonderful pet. Easily the equivalent of a hamster, truthfully. By the way, I live next to a station. So did you hear that?
Yeah, I did hear that, yeah.
Give me a moment.
And it's not just trains which cause issues with the recording process. Here is Lindsay Thomas, who is another UK-based veterinarian. Lindsay deals with fish. And I was asking her about the type of conditions which can be treated and which fish can get. As she's answering, let's welcome Skye the cat. I've done the same thing again. The first cut is as you would have heard it, as it was edited, and the second cut is as it was actually recorded.
The kind of conditions that you are looking for and treating in the animals are the same, again, as we would see in your standard companion animals, your farm animals, humans, tumours, lacerations, infections, parasites.
The main things clients are going to present for are things like skin infections, fin infections, possibly tumours, lacerations and things.
And this is how it started.
Tumours, lacerations, infections, parasites. That day, your major kind of things that you're looking for?
Sorry, one sec. I'll start that again while the cat has a slight... Skye, shush! Sorry, she's gone up into the loft now. It should be okay. I don't know what's got into her.
That's right, because I've got a possum up on the roof at the moment too, banging and crashing. So. Welcome to the Antipodes.
Let's go back to Benjamin Kennedy, the exotic vet from the UK. I asked Benjamin what I thought was a fairly straightforward clinical question. How do you tell if your pet insect is sick? Now, I was expecting an answer that came back along the lines of stops eating, lays on its back, changes colour. I don't know what a sick insect looks like. The answer that I got was more to do with marital relationships than veterinary medicine?
To quote the great Mary Branker, who is one of the first female presidents of the BVA, she founded the Veterinary Invertebrate Society. And when she would be asked this question, and her response would be, "How would you know your wife is sick?" To which her response is, "You would look at her, and you know, because you should know your wife." And I think the same thing is true. I think invertebrates that are sick look sick.
Well, we'll just stick with Benjamin here for a minute. You heard in that earlier clip with the train about Benjamin's love for mantises' pets. It just doesn't stop at mantises. Here's what he says about snakes.
I think many snakes probably see their owners as mouse dispensers, but I think even snakes can get very used to you and handling you and can give you support and interact with you.
But wait, there's more. I asked Benjamin in the Avian podcast whether the personalities of, in particular, parrots were actually personalities, or whether they were like parrots did with a lot of other things, they were mimicking a personality.
I think they're actually personable. I would say, to be controversial, they're more personable in some ways than dogs and cats are, because I think overall, I would say parrots are cleverer and they're more involved than dogs and cats. I think a parrot really has a very sophisticated brain and it's able to deal with a lot of information. And I think you often hear it said that a parrot's the equivalent of a 3 to 5 year old.
And just to finish off, let's just keep going with our love theme here. I was talking to Annette McFadgen, who is a veterinary tech or a veterinary nurse working in a practice in the north of the South Island of New Zealand, and they run an HBOT machine, a hyperbaric oxygen treatment machine. And I asked her again what I thought was a clinical question, just to describe the machine to me. And this is her lyrical answer.
Well, I think it's quite beautiful. It looks aesthetically pleasing. It's a big white spaceshipy looking thing with a control panel at one end and kind of like portholes, three of those around, so you can watch what's going on with your patient and they can look back at you.
So that's it for another episode of the Vet Podcast and another year of the Vet Podcast. I have purposefully made this episode quite short because we have all got a lot to do this time of year. I would like to thank everybody who has contributed to the Vet Podcast in the last year, and to be fair, since the whole project started, which was a number of years ago, this podcast wouldn't be the Vet Podcast without animal professionals who are willing to contribute. So if you have got something you would like to contribute, please get in contact with me. Either email me at vetpodcast@gmail.com or through one of our social media sites. Just search for Vet Podcast. I would also especially like to thank the listeners. Thank you for sticking with me while we have been making this. So can you all please have a wonderful festive season and keep safe, and we will talk again in the new year. Merry Christmas, everybody. And that's it for another episode of the Vet Podcast. All of our links are in one place at beacons.ai/vetpodcast. That is beacons.ai/vetpodcast. And while you're there, don't forget to buy us a coffee. On behalf of me, Brian Greger, and everybody else involved in the making of this podcast, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you again soon.